I'd like to call Congress back to order after a recess for engrossment. Reports of select committees. Congressman Hamilton.
Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee, Bill Number 1716. An act to amend the OSC Nation Health and Benefit Act, Section 16, OSC, Special Section 3102, 3104, and 3105, to repeal 16, OSC, Special Section 3-106, and establish alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congressman Shaw. Committee action due passes properly engrossed, voting yes was Hamilton and Shaw. Absence, Tillman Edwards. Committee also met on Bill Number 1716119, an act to amend the OSC Nation Health Authority Board Act, 16, OSC, Special Section 7-102, through 7-105. Sponsor is Congressman Shaw. The final committee action due passes properly engrossed, voting yes was Hamilton and Shaw. Absence, Tillman Edwards. Committee also met on Bill Number 1718-01, an act to amend OSC 1674, Section 2, to authorize a 5% increase in the per credit hour and maximum fund limits for general and required reading scholarships beginning January 1st, 2018, and establish alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congressman Edwards. Co-sponsors are Congressman Hamilton, Congressman Whitehorn, Congressman Pratt, Congressman Goodfox, and Congressman Tillman. Final committee action due passes properly engrossed, voting yes was Hamilton and Shaw. Absence, Tillman Edwards.
Thank you. We're now on third reading. ONCA 17116, an act to amend the OSC Nation Health Benefit Act, 16, ONC Sections 3102, 104, and 105, to repeal 16, ONC Section 3106, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Shaw is the sponsor. How do you wish to proceed?
I'll split my time.
Okay, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, members of Congress, ONCA 17116, as the title states, is an amendment to the OSC Nation Health Benefit Act. I recall when the act was first being studied and revised by members of Congress back in 2009, I was on the Health Advisory Board. I remember we were asked our opinion on it. So that's withstood the test of time and able to allow an adequate administration of the health benefit for the last 8 years. But now, as third-party administrators are changing, some of the complexities of administering the plan have come forward and caused us to relook at whether or not changes can be made at this time as we look at making changes to that original act. For example, one of the things, two pieces in there, we have the whole long list of every eligible expense as authorized by the IRS. That's been removed from the bill. Also, the plan document itself, it has all the details about how to apply or tips on filing the claims that kind of were for the OSC Nation members. That plan document itself was withdrawn from the bill. Not because we didn't want to know about how to conduct the plan, but having the entire plan document seemed to be too much. We have, as I said, a committee, as it were, amendments and any substitutes duly discussed and put together a lot of the important language that used to be in the plan document to help guide and provide a law to guide the executive branch and wage works and administering the health benefit plan. And some of the more important ones have to do with assurance that there'd be an appeal process. Also, a description of family accounts. In the past, we didn't know that it was going to be difficult to provide a debit card to minors. It wasn't allowed by federal law. And so family accounts are now allowed where parent or guardian can hold monies for the dependents or the minor children in a family account and make a decision how best to expend that. Theoretically, of course, we're wanting that to be spent on the individual OSC member, but there's no police in that. There's no real way to follow each one of those claims and accounts up. So we've acknowledged the fact that we're going to let that guardian or parent make that decision on behalf of the OSC member. That they can expend funds out of that family account. I really example, the perpetual plans, we just talked about it in the past amendment years ago, allows for a one-time signer to participate in the plan. So you don't have to worry about signing up again and make sure you obtain your benefits. You get signed up once and you get approved, you participate in the plan and you're ready to go. You still have accruals, whether you use it or not, you won't lose any accrued monies because you've got to sign up. I really think that's a good benefit for our Osage members. Remind you again that we just appropriated, I think, $9.3 million for that. So I think we're going to have this make some benefits available to the Osage member for their best use. I strongly recommend you vote for this bill. I think it's a step forward for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Members of Congress, Madam Speaker, Assistant Chief, just wanted to get up and say that in its current state, I'm a no vote on this amendment to this law, although I do believe it needs to be worked on. There were some options thrown out at the table today about quite possibly making it be a perpetual plan for those age 65 and older. I could support that. I think that's a good idea to take the burden off of our elders to help them enroll every year. We did a lot of work on this today, but we met for a four-hour period, and we had a new committee substitute before us that we didn't receive until 8 o'clock this morning. I still think this needs a lot of work on it. Some of the language in the bill, it talks about the plan, but it never really takes into account where it talks about the plan that really we have a health benefit plan, which is of monetary value to our membership, but we also offer supplemental insurance as another benefit that comes out of the health benefit fund. So this legislation hasn't clearly separated those. It says that it's a non-ERISA plan, and the portion that is Medicare Part F and Part D are not non-ERISA plans. So that's still remaining here in this legislation. It makes the statement that the plan has three components, but the plan doesn't have three components. It has two components. It has a benefit for the members under 65 for $500, and then it has a benefit for members over 65, which is $1,000. Then it also says that it has the part of the plan is Plan F and Plan B. That's not really a correct statement in this legislation. You guys were all here with me when I was trying to make amendments to it, because these are some of the features of legislation that this body passes and puts out before the public. And I just believe that this was not fully worked on. We did talk to the third-party administrator consultant today. He has worked with the health benefit plan, I think, nearly since its inception. And he was thinking it might be better that we did have a annual enrollment. It just is a better tracking policy. We hire experts, and I feel strongly that we need to follow our experts' advice. So, although I fully support the health benefit, the monetary funds that go to our people, and I do fully support the Medicare supplement and now the supplemental Part D drugs, I just don't think that this legislation is up to the standard that we should put out to cover this plan. I think we started down the road to do so, but I don't believe that we're quite there yet. I think we've done a rush job on this, and for that reason, I'm going to be voting no for this piece of legislation.
Thank you. Any other members like to speak for or against this bill?
Echo some of what Congresswoman Whitehorn stated when we did meet with the consultant today. We did just receive this committee substitute, and I was a little, I don't know, I feel like once we got through the two committee substitutes that we were compressed for time at that point trying to merge the two, and I stated at that time that I wasn't comfortable with either one of them and wanted to see more of that come together. But there is still sections in here that the consultant did specifically say that that's not what this is, including the non-ERISA plan. Also, I can't help but think, and I stated that during the amendment, I can't help but think that there isn't, we should look a little more at the perpetual plan. Mr. Bartlett did speak somewhat against a perpetual plan, and I, again, still feel like it's going to have some sort of fiscal impact, or at least we haven't taken the time to look at what that looks like if everyone just perpetually rolled every time. So I think that we should have thought about looking at that more. It was just kind of brought up during session, and everybody kind of went back and forth. And I stated earlier that I even thought at one point I was almost sold on it because, you know, like other commerce members, they have several children to reapply for. But so I thought the overall impact that it could possibly have was greater than me having to take 10 minutes to re-enroll everyone. And I know that Congressman Shaw stated after I spoke on that amendment, saying, well, you know, it's not because it's hard. No, it's not hard. But he said the harder part was, for some, is remembering because of a need. And I think that specifically, if the need is there, then you will remember to do it. And Mr. Bartlett spoke about that as well, saying some of them don't need it and choose to not use it. Therefore, that's tying that money up. And we don't know what that looks like yet. So it's, you know, that's not been tracked. I think it's more trackable if we do enroll annually. So if you have a need, you're going to remember. I'm not comfortable with that, and of course the non-ERISA, and I said that in committee. I didn't feel comfortable with either of them, but I think we rushed trying to get the two of them together, and I just don't feel comfortable. So I'm going to be voting no, because I just don't feel comfortable that this is a really good product. Granted, it's moving there, but I don't know that it's
specifically writing, and that's just how I feel about that at this time. So I'm going to be voting no. Congressman Walker.
Special session for this one reason, and it was to amend a law. This our health benefit plan fund law, and we've convened to do so. We've worked hard all day. There's been a lot of work not only done today, this week, last week. There's been phone calls made. the perpetual issue is not a reason to vote yes or no for it. And some of the reasons that have been brought up, well, I'll just say this, the perpetual portion of it's, in my opinion, not a reason to vote no for it. To my knowledge, there's at least 7 members of Congress that support the perpetual provision anyway, so that's where we're headed, unless somebody, a couple people change their mind. The other issues that were brought up, I don't see those as deal breakers anyway. This is a better bill than the existing law. We've been working on this, but it's been on the table for months. This committee substitute incorporated some things that were brought up in emails and phone calls based on a previous 3 or 4 hour committee meeting that we had. I just can't imagine that we've called ourselves into special session for this one purpose, and a couple things didn't go your way. So now we're going to change your mind and vote it down. So what? I don't get this. This is very disappointing and frustrating. I hope you change your mind and vote yes.
Anyone else? Seeing none, Congressman Shaw.
Well, with regard to this, which rushed through, I probably estimate there's been a total of 10 hours spent by the committee starting last month to process this. I think by any metric, it could hardly be called rushed. As far as the assertion that we'll be able to get the committee substitute has some amendments in there. It's not a repeal and a restatement. So that may have been spent, as it was sent just not too long before mine. And to be honest with you, we went through it in detail today. We had almost four hours that we spent on that. So we spent ample amount of time and exercised due diligence on this bill. And again, as my colleague, Congressman Block mentioned, we called ourselves in special session. We all anticipated it in one day. And I think that the fact that we're still here at 8 o'clock at night underscores the fact that we spent an ample amount of time processing it. As far as the perpetual plan versus the annual plan, I am in favor of being able to enhance this benefit in any way that I can for the use of our elders, for anyone that's eligible for this plan, so that they don't lose approved benefits that they can use during a given year when they have a health crisis. The bill also contains and allows for a appeals process. It also allows for regular reports to the Congress and the executive branch. And as far as this piece about a non-ERISA plan, that non-ERISA plan statement has been in there for 8 years. Whether that is a flaw or whether it's true or not true, I didn't hear that language earlier today. So if it is, I don't think it was made clear at this table. I think it's a good bill. I think it's something that's going to help the Osage people get better benefit and more access to their health care. I think you should vote yes.
Thank you. Okay. The question is, shall ONCA 17-116 pass? Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitemore.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
No.
ONCA 17-116 fails.
I just had a problem. 6.
How did it fail?
Hold on.
Sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6. Okay, sorry. I was informed that 7. It failed, but ONCA 17-116 passed. Okay. Oh, say an alternate effective date. And there is an alternate effective date. Any discussion? Congressman Maker.
Yes.
What, no. We always do it. Congressman.
Could you repeat your previous statement?
Yeah, I was said that I was initially informed that it failed, but ONCA 17-116 passed. Okay. 7-3, and there is an alternate effective date. So is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the alternate effective date, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, alternate effective date passes, and ONCA 17-116 is advanced to enrollment. ONCA 17-119, an act to amend the Osage Nation Health Authority Board Act 16, ONC Section 7102 through 7105. Congressman Shaw is the sponsor. How do you wish to proceed?
I'll divide my time.
Okay, you have the floor.
Years ago, my colleague Congressman Mason and others sponsored the Osage Nation Health Authority Board Act. They were advised by executive at that time that for us to consider going forward, that the nation would require a health authority board to be able to credential and perform other functions that were required to contract programs with the Indian Health Service. So there was a mandate in this Congress voted to describe opposition and duties and responsibilities of the USA Education Health Authority Board that were established. I've had the honor of serving on that board previously. But the key piece of that had to do with the description of the Health Authority Board's roles and responsibilities with the health and wellness condition. As you may know, following Standing Bear versus Pratt, that the principal chief no longer feels constrained to organize the executive branch of programs into divisions and doesn't recognize a health and wellness division. Those services are still there. Those programs, functions, services, and activities that comprise what used to be in the division are still the system, but they're no longer structured within a division. So that the duties and responsibilities of that board were not really clear now because there was no division. How could we be responsible for constructing a budget for the health and wellness division when there was no division? So there were many passages in there that became outdated based on current law and Supreme Court decision. So the purpose of creating this bill to amend that law is to be able to update the language so that the Health Authority Board would have its roles and responsibilities reconfirmed and redefined, as well as to improve their, or I should say, enhance their authority over the all personnel decisions, over the all the employees or contractors that provide direct patient care. That's a fairly exhaustive list of individuals. It includes physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, dentists, dental aides, dental therapists, x-ray techs, laboratory techs, traditional healers, behavioral health therapists. So it includes quite a few. But it was felt by executive that group of individuals was most knowledgeable to credential and hire those particular positions. It was felt that executive branch did not have that expertise. So that was also contained in the bill, the committee substitute that was brought to the table today for the Health Social Services Committee. I really think it's a good update. I think it's redefining of the role over not only all employees and contractors that provide direct patient care, but also gives them the authority to hire and fire essentially whoever the designated executive officer is. Over the Health and Wellness Division. As you may recall, there was a Health and Wellness Division leader, but if there's no leader, there's no division. So that entity still exists, but it's really in transition. So this empowered the Health Authority Board to make all of the personnel decisions regarding that particular position, whatever it ends up being called by executive branch. So I think it's a good bill that redefines and reconfirms the health authority's duties and responsibilities, and I think it's deserving of your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none. Congressman Shaw, would you like the rest of your time?
I'll waive my time.
The question is, shall ONCA 17-119 pass?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Giffbox.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Baker.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. ONCA 17-119 passes and is advanced to enrollment. Okay, ONCA 1801. An act to amend ONCA 1674 section 2 to authorize a 5% increase in the per credit hour and maximum funding level for general and required reading scholarships beginning January 1st, 2018 and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Edwards is the sponsor and there are five co-sponsors. Is there someone who would like to represent this bill out of the five co-sponsors?
I will.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Members of Congress, Madam Speaker, I'm not on the Education Committee, but I do know that I, during our CISA session, the subject was brought up that the Board of Regents for the state of Oklahoma have increased our college tuition by, I believe, it's a 5.3% for this academic year. Our education department sets our education scholarship handbook in May with the levels of funding to be expected throughout the year. That was somewhat considered, I guess, as a reason that nobody picked up this legislation and sponsored it. But Congresswoman Edwards has done so. I, as all of you know, have supported our higher education scholarships here in the nation. I have stated many times I never want it to be a needs-based scholarship. I think it's part of our Osage heritage, the heritage that we hold education in high esteem. And for me, this is one of the most uplifting appropriations that we make each year to be able to help Osage people where they live to be able to achieve their higher education. I've also always stated that I believe that we should always use the mark of what our state institution tuitions raise to, elevate to, no matter what, so we can give these scholarships, send our students to school where they don't have the burden of worrying about how they're going to pay the tuition fees. I believe that when we get our reports on our GPAs for our students that go, that they are above average. It's pretty phenomenal. And there's no science behind it, but I believe the reason for that is that they don't have a burden of worrying how they're going to pay that tuition. They may have other worries. They may worry about how they're going to pay the rent, the gas in their car, but they don't worry about how their tuition gets paid. I support this 5% increase. I stated that time and time again when I go out and visit with Osage people that we want to keep that scholarship at a level that pays their students' tuition, and I will always support that. I also heard Chief Standing Bear supports this legislation also, and so I urge your support to vote yes to raise the amount of our scholarship by 5% per credit hour, 5% per credit hour for the maximum level funding for general and required reading scholarships. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Congressman Hamilton.
As the chair of the Education Committee, I just want to reiterate what the Congressman Mark Horton had said. This was brought up in the last session. It was discussed to keep in the same rate of any tuition hikes at state. So everything's in the title of the bill. So I urge you to vote yes.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak for or against this bill? Are you finished, Maureen? Oh, Congresswoman Norris, or excuse me, Congressman Norris. Sorry, I apologize.
My colleagues to also support this and vote yes.
Thank you, Congressman. Anyone else? Okay. The question is, shall ONCA 1801 pass?
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. ONCA 1801 passes. There's an alternate effective date. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1801 is advanced to enrollment. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I just want some information. I think that we discussed needing another member to the Congressional Affairs Committee, and I thought we had to do that while we were in session, but I don't know what procedure we were going to take to do that. So I would like to hear from the Speaker. Do you have a route planned, a motion that I need to make, or we're going to do a vote or a nomination and a vote?
I don't know the exact protocol for that. I know that we can do it during this special session. We did ask about that. So I do know that we have to nominate and vote. So let's pull this out real quick and get some guidance on specifically how to. And this is for an additional member. We are not replacing anyone. We're just asking for an additional member for the Congressional Affairs Committee. So that they can hopefully be sure to have a quorum. Congressman Mason.
Nominate Mr. Kogi Supernaw.
Second.
Move that nomination cease and that Kogi Supernaw be on the Congressional Affairs Committee by acclamation.
Second.
Okay. Motion's made and seconded to confirm Congressman Supernaw to the Congressional Affairs Committee by affirmation. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, congratulations, Congressman Supernaw. You are now on the Congressional Affairs Committee. Yeah, you got to be there. That's what you were, that's your purpose. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Motion to adjourn the session. Second.
Okay, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
We're now adjourned the 10th special session.
Thank you. I'll get even.